And good afternoon, Advocate Navombe.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson.
Apologies from the entire committee. You were supposed to be seated there at 9:30. There were some developments, so we couldn't start at that time, and we apologize for that. We hope every arrangement has been done in terms of change of flights and everything else. I hope the administration has done that. Our apologies. Just to inform the committee about yourself and why really are you interested in this board of MDDA? That will help us at the start. Maybe in doing that, you also surely your interest will be informed by understanding what MDDA is. So tell us about your understanding of the MDDA as you introduce yourself and your interest in MDDA. You'll do that in 2 minutes because there will be questions from the members to you. Over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. My name is Advocate Lufuno, Tokyo on the phone. I'm a graduate of Bachelor of Laws and Masters of Law, LLM, and I'm currently studying for Doctor of Laws at the University of Limpopo. I'm an advocate by profession. I'm also an academic at the University of Limpopo. I've served in a number of boards as a non-executive director. My understanding and my interest on the MDDA, I would like also to make a contribution to the media industry. My understanding of the MDDA and my interest of the MDDA is guided by the mandate of the MDDA, which is to ensure that to encourage media development and diversity, and also in doing that also address the needs and aspirations of the people of South Africa. And the other mandate of the MDDA is to address injustice of the past by promoting community media and small commercial media. And also the other mandate relates to public awareness with regard to media development and diversity. And also to ensure that the media industry is transformed and represent the wishes and aspirations of the of all the people of South Africa from all walks of life, regardless of race. That is my answer, Honorable Chair.
The long and short of it. We've done, we've put your CV for public scrutiny, and there was no comment from the public insofar as yourself is concerned. but if there is something that you want to tell us, because we embark on a vetting exercise using this, the people who are qualified in doing that, if there is something that you want to tell us in relation to all those things, you are free to do so. But if you have nothing, then you can just say there are no worries, there is nothing. Can you start again? Can you press and start again?
Sorry, Chairperson.
And leave it open like that. So that
as from now, there are no worries, except the fact that I've once do the admission of guilty for traffic interventions.
Currently, you are serving in how many courts?
Currently, I'm serving on the Films and Publication Board, the National Lottery Participants Trust, and then also the Corporate Banks Development Agency.
Three boards.
Three boards, and also
okay, one of them is within the same sector.
And also on the Audit Committee of Parliament.
Also?
Audit Committee of Parliament.
Oh, okay. Members, I'll hand over to you. I don't know who's starting. We use the same approach of one. Yeah, per party. Honorable Teddy.
Afternoon, hello, God Nazola. How are you?
I'm fine, honorable member.
Fine. What's your understanding of the role of the MDGA? Over and above the issue of financial support, what's your understanding of the role of the MDD besides providing some financial support to community radio?
The other role of the MDD, in my understanding, is besides the financial support, is the media development. Also diversity in terms of the media industry, and the other one will be is more of the transformation agenda, because the MDDA board has a duty and mandate to transform the media and also to support nation building and social cohesion as outlined in the National Development Plan.
So, some of the community radios are faced with governance challenges in the main. And if appointed a board member, how do you see yourself contributing in that particular area?
My contribution would be to support those, in fact, to support all the community radio and community TV stations. With the capacity building, to capacitate them, to start from their board of directors and also their staff, so that they have the knowledge, so that they can be able to sustain those community radios and TV stations. My contribution would be to give them that support and empower them with knowledge and skills, so that they can be able to sustain those businesses. Because a lot of challenges which we have is that you have community radios which are established, but they die in the process because of lack of funding, lack of knowledge, and lack of knowledge on how to run those community radio and broadcasting television.
If invited to a session with those community radios, how will you approach the challenge of them being faced with the financial unsustainability, resulting in them not being able to do some of their day-to-day work? Because most of them mainly relies on government for support, and surely I don't think you can sustain community radios in that particular manner.
I think the support will be for those community radios to make sure that they have a local content in their programs. They have programs which are more local, so that it can also encourage local small businesses to do advertising with them, where they can be able to generate money, and also to partner with the communities. Because those radios belong to the community, and it is also up to the community, who are the shareholders, to give support to those community radios so that they can be able to be sustainable financially.
Thanks, Chairman.
Honorable Van Dijk.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for making yourself available for the... I can see that you've got a comprehensive CV. And I see that you also, as you mentioned, serve on a few boards and committees. And I was just wondering whether you will be have time to fit in the NDDA. But my first question will be, I see that your contract with on your CV with National Health Lab Services were terminated. I'm going to put my three questions in line and then you can answer them. The second question, the reason I want to know the reason for that, and then which legislation governs the NDDA, and what is your understanding of this legislation in relation to the NDDA? Also, in addition to this founding legislation, by what else is the NDDA regulated? And then, as you mentioned, you on the FPB board. I believe you chaired the inquiry into the COO and CEO. And I'm very curious to know why you, as a board, started the process and then decided to settle with separation packages. And this is related to the questions of today or with regards to the board, because we need to know that the people that serve on the NDDA board are actually people that can stand up against corruption and can stand firm when they need to take action. So if you can please just explain to me that the dynamic of that decision. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll first thank you, Honourable Member, for a good question. I'll start with the first question with relating to the my contract terminated at the National Laboratory Health Service Board. My contract was terminated by the Minister of Health, the current Minister. The reasons why it was terminated was I was part of the board members who were insisting that we need to collect money from provinces which were owing us money as the NHLS. So we wanted to institute a legal action, and the minister blocked it. Firstly, he blocked it on the basis of the fact that there was intergovernmental relations going on, which we didn't pursue the action. But later we realized that the intergovernmental relations negotiations were not having any fruits, and we took a decision to engage on a legal action so that we can be able to collect money, because the NHLS was facing a financial crisis and we were even failing to pay salaries of the staff. So we decided to take the legal action so that we can be able to recover the money, so that we can be able to sustain the organization. So those were the reasons why my contract was terminated. And with regard to the issue relating to the inquiry for the Films and Publication Board, remember I'm a member of the council, and upon the council receiving a complaint from the Minister of Communication and also a complaint which was sent to the public protector, the council has appointed a task team, which I was the chairperson, to conduct investigation relating to the complaint. The investigation was conducted, and the report was handed to council, and the council decided to because the investigation was in favor of a further full investigation with regard to the complaint. So the council adopted the report and go for a full investigation, where an auditing firm was appointed, the Keller Scavisa, to do the investigation. The investigation was done. The report was handed to the council, and the council act based on the report. So my mandate as the chairperson of the task team ended when we handed the report for further investigation. So with regard to the other investigation by the audit firm, it was done. There was another task team which facilitated that until the investigation was done. So my role ended at that point, and also the other actions were done by the council itself. With regard to how to further the investigation, there was opinion from a law firm which also advised council how they must act on the matter, and the council acted in terms of that legal opinion. Honourable Member, maybe you need to remind me also again, sorry, for the other questions, so, because I forgot the other questions, so that I can be able to respond effectively.
Your time has expired. Can you note the questions so that you don't forget? Surely there is a question that you didn't answer. In fact, there are two. Honourable Lozo.
Thank you, Chairperson. First question is, in what way are technological developments like DTT going to change the community media landscape? We have 5 minutes, so you have to push, Chief. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Honourable Member, for the question. The DTT is going to change the media landscape because we are going to, with regard to digital migration, we're going to move from analog technology, the way we used to use aerial now for the television, to analog to digital, wherein the screen is going to be more cleaner compared to now, because now if you don't have...
In what way is it going to affect or change the community media landscape?
Yes. So the way it's going to change the community media landscape is that there's going to be more changes, because when we introduce the DTT, it means that we are going to have more local content which is going to be broadcasted, because there will be increase of based on the SABC, there will be increase of channels and so on. And so the way...
Okay. So now... because we don't have time, a lot of community media, newspapers, as well as television, as well as radio, collapse because of funding. And in as much as the MDDA gives them money, they collapse anyway. Have you thought about what exactly can be done to improve that? If so, please share with us.
Yeah, what can be done is to encourage the local businesses also to do the advertising.
That has been done already. Do you have any new ideas?
I think with regard to the new ideas, it will be to... Because the main problem is that even though the community radio are broadcast, the community television and radio are broadcasting, more often than not, they don't put local content. They sometimes there's a combination...
Do you know how many radio stations are there in South Africa, community radio stations?
Yes, there are more than 100.
Do you know or you don't know? Just be honest. Do you know how many community radio stations are there?
What I know is that there are more than 100.
How many are supported by the MDDA?
It's few of those.
So you don't know?
It's few of those.
Do you not know or do you know? Do you know how many are supported? The answer is either a specific figure or you don't know. It's not bad not to know.
I don't know the specific figure, but...
Thank you. So... The next thing I want to ask, which is probably the very final one, in the Act, they say part of what the mandate of the MDDA should do is to encourage transformation of ownership in media in general. Do you know what has the MDDA done, for instance, to transform ownership in major media houses in South Africa?
Since the MDDA has been established, their focus much was more on the community media and also the small-scale commercial.
Do you know what they have done in achievement of that objective in the Act?
Yeah, they when I read the annual report, there are a lot of achievements which they have done, but there are also the challenges. Because
what have they done to achieve that specific objective? If you know, please give us examples of what they've done.
Yeah, what they've done is that they've supported community media projects.
What have they done to encourage the changing of ownership patterns, to diversify ownership in the major media houses?
Yeah, in the major media houses, They have not done.
Do you know if they've done anything or not?
They have not. According to my understanding, they have not done anything.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Yes.
Going through the CV, there are so many things that you are involved in. I mean, if you go to the first page to the second page, so many. How do you cope? How are you going to cope if you had more than what you have here? A lot of responsibilities that you have already.
Yes, I do have a lot of responsibilities, but there are other responsibilities which I'm no longer going to do. Some of the contracts have expired, some are expiring, which I'm no longer going to pursue by the end of the year.
I see here, yes, you are a lecturer, 2010 to date, audit committee to date from 2015, a board member, cooperative banks to date, trustee national lotteries to date, chairperson civil aviation to date. So, a number of responsibilities up to now. That's my point. You say you will be able to do all those things. Others are ending 2020. Too many. You say others are not a problem and all of that. Your priority will be MDD. Honourable Matisha.
Thank you. I see, sir, you, as it has been indicated, you've got a number of things that you've got to do. But then, kindly, even before we come to that, explain your understanding of the mandate of the MDDA board and how would you envisage giving effect to this mandate.
Thank you for the question, Honourable Member. My understanding of the mandate of the MDDA is media development and diversity, and also to ensure that to redress and also to prioritize those media houses which are previously disadvantaged, and also to support media projects, and also to do the public awareness campaign with regard to that. And the experience which I'm going to bring to the MDDA board is that I'm still young, innovative, and I'm a hard worker. And I've worked in a number of boards where there were challenges which were there, and we've managed to collectively as board members to overcome those challenges through the hard work and focus also on our fiduciary duties as non-executive director, to know what are our boundaries and how we can be able to help the institution we lead so that it can be able to be sustainable and also contribute to the development of South Africa as a whole.
Thank you very much. The situation at the moment in the country is engulfed by the political situation, of course. Well, you will understand. Kindly explain how you will be able to avoid that. I mean, I'm talking here about fairness. I'm talking here about the freedom of expression, of openness, and accountability, so that all the people in our country are able to get the access to that which they are supposed to. You are not swayed to agree with a particular grouping of political parties.
Thank you, Honourable Member, for the question. I am independent, and I'm also committed to the core values of our constitution, because I believe that in all what we do, we are subjected to the rule of law. We must also bear in mind the core values of our constitution, the social justice and the respect for our people, and also in whatever decision we made, Ubuntu is an important part which must consider when we take decisions. We can't be reckless. We must be able to be fair, impartial, and also ensure that all the decisions are taken in the best interest of the company which we represent.
I'm satisfied. I think I understand. Having gone through your CV with all those qualifications and what we have been able to do, I'm happy. I only hope that should you be appointed, then be able to actualize that fairness and a whole lot of other things. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Members, I've just circulated the SSA report on Mr. Navondwe. He has already informed the meeting that he had a criminal record. You were saying it was what? Traffic. Although it's not stated very clearly, but it's there. They say fingerprints should be submitted to verify the records. Yes, members, there you are. do you want a bite? Are you okay? Yeah. What advocates do you... Do you have any... I'm really worried about your many responsibilities here. You counted three, but when I look at it, I see a lot. But it's fine. Do you have any questions to the members? Can we? Do you have any questions to members?
I don't have a specific question, Honourable Chairperson. I would just like to thank you and also the panel members for affording me this opportunity to express myself before you. I don't have any further questions.
We thank you very much. Also, you are... Yes?
Chairperson, I'm sorry. I just want to have full clarity on the issue of the criminal record, because in terms of the Act, an individual who has been sentenced to a period of imprisonment of not less than 1 year without the option of a fine, I just wanted to know about what the extent of the criminal record is, how fast he was speeding, what the fine was. I'd like full disclosure.
Thank you, Honourable Member, for the good question. The criminal record is about exceeding the speed limit in the road. So what happened was that when I go to court, I admitted liability. So I do the admission of guilty, and then I was fined, and I pay the fine in terms of what the court has said. I don't really remember what happened, but when I go to court, they say I do the admission of guilty, and then I pay the fine. I think it was about 1,500, so somewhere there.
Yeah, no, that's fine, members. That's all. That's all. All of us were fined from time to time. You exceed 60 kilometers, you do 80, and then you are fined. Thank you very much, Advocate. Travel safely.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. We have the next candidate. Thank you.